Welcome to the Authors Who Lead podcast. This podcast is dedicated to you, people who want to be inspired by authors, leaders, and the messages they share. This is such an important podcast to us because we help uncover what goes on behind the scenes when authors are writing their book. We talk about the process. We talk about where they get big ideas, and you can listen in on those conversations. We can't wait for you to join us, so let's get started. So I wanted to let you know that sometimes our biggest aspirations in writing a book might be doing something like hitting the Wall Street Journal bestseller list or USA Today or the biggest one of all, the New York Times bestseller list or whatever the list is in your country, your region, your town, etc. But I want to encourage you not to get too caught up in the list because it's a little bit of a misleading understanding of what makes a book good. So today we're all going to talk about what do I do if I want to make a bestsellers list? What does that really mean? I'm going to talk a little about the how, but also for you to understand that it shouldn't be the way you focus your attention because the lists are a little bit elusive. So here we go. So what do you do if you want to hit a bestseller list? What does that really mean and how do they actually define and make up one of these bestsellers lists? So let's talk about something that happened more recently. So I was talking to a friend, Selena Sue, and we're talking about one of her books, and she sent me an article from Publishers Weekly. And this is what it says. It's from November 7th, 2023. It says, "The Wall Street Journal drops its bestsellers list." Now, what does that mean? It goes on to say, "The Wall Street Journal has stopped running its weekly bestsellers list. The final lists were carried out the weeks before, and the paper ran a total of six fiction and nonfiction lists, as well as hardcover business lists, and they were powered by something called Circana or BookScan, which essentially is the organization that counts books. This is gone. There is no longer a Wall Street Journal bestseller list. Ironically, I did make it to the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, but truth is, doesn't really matter if it's not here anymore. It's interesting to think that something as important as a bestseller list can just disappear. But I have a feeling that the Wall Street Journal is just one of many that will start to drop off. One, because it's costly to the paper. They have to pay for the service that gets the book scans and calculates them and updates them and someone to manage it. But also, I think what makes something important is becoming different. The mainstream media isn't necessarily where we're finding our bestsellers. So I think we should consider that. But let me talk a little about what are bestsellers lists in general and how they actually work. So let me talk a little about the biggest one, and then we'll work backwards to some of these other lists, because you still might be wanting to know, how do I get there? The New York Times bestsellers list is a list that's compiled based on a number of things. It's a combination of sales data, including the sales figures reported by book retailers, wholesalers across the country. And you remember from before, the sales reporting comes in through providers such as Nielsen BookScan, which tracks all the book sales in all these outlets. But the New York Times also gathers data from a select number of independent bookstores and wholesalers. That select number of bookstores is not clear. Do they pick bookstores that are diverse? Are they urban? Are they in big cities? They don't tell you. So the New York Times list is a little bit elusive. The second, they take all that data from the Nielsen BookScan, and they take the sales data and they provide this confidential report to the New York Times. And then that list is divided into lots of categories, such as, first of all, fiction and nonfiction. And then within those categories, there's even smaller categories. And then finally, the editorial decision, which is what you need to know, is the New York Times is an editorial list. It isn't based on the number of book sales. So you can't necessarily figure out how many books do I need to sell. Yes, there are agencies that provide you with the opportunity to get on the New York Times or these other lists by promising you they're going to take your money and get you on the list. Some of them are probably able and some of them may not be because it's not clear. The New York Times editorial team decides and compiles the data to make the final decision about which books they include on that bestsellers list. So they also may consider other factors in their decision besides the number of books sold, such as, does this have a cultural impact on society, in their opinion? Or does this have a critical reception? Or what's the categories of the weight that's already been included? How many books are being released in this category? Is it already full? So all these things are factors to be on the New York Times list. And ironically, if you look at the number of people who have been on the New York Times list that in some way, shape, or form have a relationship to the New York Times, whether it's a subsidiary, they've worked for them, etc., are quite high. So just let that sink in for a minute. The other list, let's start with Wall Street Journal, which is no longer here. Wall Street Journal and USA Today was a list compiled of book sales. They really tried to remain true to the number of sales in a given week. And then they reported the sales. And there were a lot fewer sales required in order to hit the New York Times bestsellers list. So though we don't know how many books are sold to get on the New York Times bestsellers list, we know that roughly that books sold in a week on USA Today or Wall Street Journal, if it hit between 6,000 and 8,000 books sold in a given week, you could potentially hit the list. That sounds super exciting, and that's how it works. But with one of them gone, maybe the other one will change the way they do things or realize altogether that maybe it doesn't bring as much value as they used to their what newspaper. They wanted people to open it and read their newspaper, and that's why it was of value. But if it's not becoming a value to them, they'll probably reevaluate that. The other thing about at least USA Today, because it's still in existence, that's useful is that particular list accepts ebooks. New York Times is just a paperback or hardcover book. But on the Wall Street Journal and USA Today, now I guess it's just the USA Today, they will take ebooks. Now, why does that matter? Because you could set your price to your ebook at 99 cents and get a lot more people willing to purchase your book than if you have to buy a $20 paperback book, for example. So those lists, even though it's clear, hey, I'm a Wall Street Journal bestseller, those typically on both those lists is much easier to hit if you are selling a digital book, right? So that's one thing. The paperback book is a whole nother list, as well as the hardcover. USA Today and also the Wall Street Journal used to have a much broader number of categories. So your book had more opportunity to hit a bestseller list. Like Amazon has lots of categories, and you can hit number one bestseller on Amazon because there's 1,000 categories you can potentially hit. The USA Today and former Wall Street Journal list, that was also true. There was more categories to be considered. So these lists are artificial, number one, that they're based on some criteria, ebook versus paperback, or in the case of Wall Street Journal, it's editorial decision. So what I would say to you is rather than focus on trying to get on the list, because as we just observed this last week, the list can disappear, I would maybe focus on something different, getting it nominated for an award or multiple awards for the category that you want your book to be applauded for, getting more reviews, actual reviews on the platform where you're selling books. That can be much more valuable on the long-term benefits of your book than having a moniker like USA Today, Wall Street Journal, or New York Times, because those don't necessarily sell books. In fact, one of my guests, it's been a couple of years now, maybe three or four, his name is Kevin Cruz, is a New York Times bestselling author with lots of books out there. But he told us on his interview, and you can listen to that interview on our archive on authorselite.com and go to podcasts. But in his episode, he said, you know what? I did make the New York Times bestsellers list. He goes, that book was a book my publisher wanted, and obviously it was great because it made the list. But ironically, the majority of his sales of his books that do the best are the self-published books or the books not published by the traditional publisher. And his New York Times bestselling book isn't his bestselling book. In fact, once it hit the list, it took a nosedive and didn't sell as many books as his other books. So if you're looking for sales, reputation, and growing, you want to focus on things that really matter, on the sales of your book. Yes, you can grow an authority by saying you're a USA Today, Wall Street Journal, New York Times bestselling author. But remember, that only gives you an entry point into the conversation. It doesn't give you more sales or even more number of reviews. It just is a moniker. Moniker meaning it's just a sort of title, something special to have. So I don't want to really demystify the list too much because I don't know that's what I would spend my time chasing. People often ask me, what's the number of books I need to sell? And I tell them, and it's really readily available. It's not like it's difficult to know. But New York Times is the list that I think people think is the list of all lists. And then what I think is, it is now, but I don't know that it will always be. What you should focus on is what's happening right now and what you can control. What you can control is getting people who are your readers to become your email subscribers or newsletter subscribers. Or you can use your book as authority to get more speaking gigs, or you can use your book to generate more revenue by running ads, or you can use your book to leverage something outside of the book, like your consulting, your coaching, your course. But spending all your time worrying about a list, I think, is a little bit of a misunderstanding. And would it be nice? Sure. But most people who do amazing things and get their book on some sort of special list, we're really trying to make an incredible book. And that's what I want you to do, is focus on writing an incredible book. Don't focus on things that aren't in your control. Because at the end of the day, having the Wall Street Journal USA Today on my accomplishments is great, but it's not because I'm as proud of that book as I am of other things. It's because I'm thinking more about the people reading this book. How will it impact people? Why am I doing it? And ultimately, yes, we do want our book to make revenue. We do want to have sales, but those sales have a lot more to do with your marketing plan, your execution for your reviews, and a long-term commitment to your book's success, not whether or not it's a bestseller on some lists. Now, I'm not boo-hooing it, and people say, you could easily say that if you are a bestseller or you're not. True, but I want to encourage you that if you focus on things you can't control, it's easy to get disappointed. All those other things I talked about, like reviews and writing a great book, creating a great cover, learning more about marketing, those are all in your control. And what's amazing about that is the more you write, the better you get at doing those things. So the best way to increase your sales of book one is to write book two. Ironically, if people like you, they're going to look for what's more about your work or what you're doing or what excites them about who you are. They might go search to see if you have a social media following to learn about what you have to say there or join your community. So focus on those things, because those are things you can control. And I want to inspire you not only to, not that I don't care about the list, but I don't want you to worry about them. Because at the end of the day, if you do your best work, it won't matter what a list says. It'll matter what the person reading it experiences, what they take away. Because books are just a conversation that you wish you could have with more people and invite them into your home, sit with you, talk with them, have tea with them, express your ideas, and they go, oh, wow, that's so helpful. But to sit down with 5 hours with every person and have that conversation would be difficult. But in a book, you can really get them to understand what you're trying to convey. And that's a really special relationship. And lists will come and go, and you can make this opportunity work for you. You can make this book become something special. I really believe that no matter what you do, if you do with all your heart, you focus on the right intention, you can make an impact. Your first book won't be your best, and hopefully your first book won't be your last. But also remember that focusing on things in your control are far more rewarding than focusing things that someone else bestows upon you. I hope this inspires you to keep writing. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for always listening. And if you haven't subscribed, I would love it. Now, what does that mean? Wherever you're listening to this, it might be on iTunes or the podcast player or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please hit subscribe. Why does that matter? It's because when these podcasts get sent out, you get notified. And that helps, because the more it gets notified, the more people subscribe, the more that it allows the platforms to suggest this to other people who might want to write. And also, what would be really helpful, I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to ask this for your help. I would love your review. Review this podcast. An honest review. I'm not asking for a 5-star review if you don't think I've earned it. I'm not asking for any type of review besides a review, because I really want to hear from you. And when people tell me what they've taken away from an episode or the show in general, or about how it's helped them, or even things you'd like to hear more of in a review, that's fine. Because reviews matter. They matter to authors, and they matter to podcasters like me. And I want to encourage you. And if you want to learn more about what it takes to write a book, and you haven't maybe taken action or you're stuck, I want you to go to authorswholead.com and check out our community programs. I've said this before, and I hope many of you keep taking me up on it, that we have an author apprentice program, which is what our community is about. Because it's one thing to take a course or read a book. It's another thing to be able to be a part of a community and actually learn directly from myself and our team. Just yesterday, I did a workshop on a third part of a series about book marketing. And people attended live who were in the community. But then those resources get put in the community so you can learn and go, oh my gosh, I need book marketing. I need to know what I need to do. I teach more advanced strategies about these lists and things like that in the community. Or how do I get my books distributed? How do I get it on Amazon? Simple questions that could take you time to search for them. You can do it all in one place. And it's not just me or Steve there. We have a whole community, other authors and would-be authors just like you, who will answer your questions, who will share their successes, and really make a big impact on the world. And I'm so grateful that we have a community, because the community aspect of our writing programs makes a huge difference. And it's only 90 days for $90. Come check it out. Spend a dollar a day. Find out if it's for you. And then if that is true, maybe there's a program that could help you, whether it's taking the self-guided program or joining one of our cohorts. But it all starts with joining the Authors Who Lead Author Apprentice Program. Thanks again for always listening, for being here. And if it's your first time, thank you so much for taking a moment to listen. I want to inspire all the authors or people who are here listening to take action today. Thank you for listening to another episode of Authors Who Lead. I'm Asul Taronis. We appreciate you. Please subscribe so you can get the notification that we have new episodes every week. And go to authorswholead.com to learn about our show notes and all of our backlists of amazing authors we've interviewed since the beginning of this podcast. Thank you and have an amazing day.